You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
We forgot to say this when we talked about Khaled earlier. Your man Khaled, he's got another one of his DJ Khaled Hit Factory records.
Mm-hmm.
Bieber, Chance, and Quavo with No Brainer.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear it?
Of course not.
You haven't heard it?
No. Like, dude, I haven't heard it. I haven't heard anything.
I've been listening to what the kids listen to.
All these records didn't come. Well, the Chance record, we didn't get that far down the playlist. Yeah, so like the Chance, I Might Need Security is actually how the playlist is how I heard that record.
Okay.
And the Miladelphia, but like I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it. The Internet is probably the only album that I went out of my way to listen to over the last few weeks.
The No Brainer record, it's gonna do well. It's a perfectly good like pop record for the summer.
Got you.
Bieber. He needs like, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see like what kind of music Justin Bieber put out in like 5 years.
What do you mean?
Because I don't know. I think he's talented. I think he could do some really interesting stuff. And he has done some really interesting albums. But I think he just became so famous so young that like his life will never be even anything resembling normal. Right? So, yeah. You know, I always feel like there's a bit of like missed opportunity with him. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
He never had his like his Justified and Future Sex Love Sounds era. Like even though Timberlake was super famous as well, but not nearly as young. Like when you become like like when you're like a pop idol at like how old was he like?
Like 17, something like
no,
that.
No, he was. I mean, when he first started, like
how when old first was, started, he was like he was probably like 14.
Oh, so maybe he wasn't as young as
13,
I thought.
14, because he's not 30 yet. I don't think.
Well, so Baby came out in 2010.
Yep.
Oh my God, he looks like he's 5 years old in that video. Oh my God, let's see, how old was he? He was.
All right, just show me how out of touch I am.
Oh man, he was 16.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I got my ear to the streets.
Yeah, Bieber's good. Only 24.
Is he?
Right, he's only 24.
It's amazing. Like the kids talk about him like he is ancient.
Yeah,
that's crazy. I know Chance has the Christian rappers in uproar about his verse on the record.
Now, why is that?
He's got a line on there that says, she said, I like the fact that you make music for God. I told her I'd rather see her booty applaud or something like that.
If he said booty, that would be the clean version.
You can't tell a girl she want a booty to applaud.
No.
On a record.
It's worse than that. Anyway.
Oh. He said, that was the clean version?
They just bleep it out all the time. Ooh. I don't think it's booty, is it? Hold on. Let me check that.
I mean, there's other things that are kind of close that could run with that. Ooh.
Yeah. I was like, wow, really? Hold on. Let me. I'm sure Rap Genius will tell me officially. Yeah. They actually just say, I would love that. Oh, I guess it is. It's booty. Okay. It is booty.
It's booty. Okay.
Why leave that out? I thought he meant something else. I was like, oh, God.
Nah, I mean you can't say that in public, man.
Well, which is why you leave it out. You can put booty in there.
No, it's not the word, Doc. It's the sentiment. You can't tell it. If I get done performing at a church, right, and a girl comes up to me and says, "I love your music," and I say, "Yeah, I would much rather," I can't do that. So just like don't say it at all. So he's got them in uproar. So apparently he talked to one of the Christian rappers. There was a private conference. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on in that we don't need to get into. But yeah, I haven't heard the record, and I probably won't. But I'm sure I'll hear it some other way because I never went out of my way to hear it. What was the other record? Down Like Me. What was the name of that record?
I'm just gonna let you hang out. Down Like Me.
I'm trash. Hold on. Okay. On a completely different note, I don't know if this is on your list.
Mm-hmm.
But your man drops Friday. Was that on your list?
Who's that?
Travis Scott.
Yeah. So the problem is like I'm away next week too, so I don't know we're gonna talk about that album, but Astroworld comes out Friday, the long rumored.
Mm-hmm.
Highly anticipated follow-up to Birds and Traps Sing McKnight and Rodeo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that Watch record, eh.
I haven't heard anything.
Eh, that was, I mean, that was from like a month or two ago. And he hasn't put anything else out. So nobody has any idea. We don't know. You know, it's Wednesday night. I'm guessing we'll get like a track listing tomorrow or some features or something. That's the way that promo works now. But yeah,
maybe we may not even get that.
Right. Might just come out.
Mm-hmm.
I went on a Travis kick today and listened to Days Before Rodeo and Birds in the Trap Sing with Night.
And
Rodeo, man, it's got some records.
Yeah, I've never let Rodeo go all the way through.
On this side with Quavo, I mean, even though you can't get on a streaming service and you got to go to YouTube to get it, Maria, I'm Drunk is just...
That's your record. Why is that not on streaming services?
I have no idea. It's always grayed out.
Hmm.
I don't think there's a sample that they couldn't get cleared on there. It doesn't sound like an obvious sample or anything, but speaking of Bieber, man, he destroys that.
Mm-hmm.
Maria, I'm Drunk is fantastic, but no, Rodeo has got, man, it's got some records. Not perfect, but there are some songs on there where you're like, okay, like I get it. Birds on the Trap Sing McKnight, there were some records that worked, some records that I was like, that's fine. But he's had a bunch of singles come out in the meantime that just like, you know, like Butterfly Effect and what's the other one? I can't think of it. So he's been putting out music. Like, people know he's around. It's not like he disappeared for 2 years. So it'll be interesting. Mm-hmm.
All
right. Seems like your man Rick Ross might be coming out soon too.
Yes.
You think he's gonna get the runners back for Port of Miami too?
And we go better. Yo, so when I drove, when we went to St. Louis a few weeks ago, and I was just random like all over Apple Music just listening to stuff. End up listening to like all three Carters, and that's like that. The Carter Two in particular so defines the era of the mid 2000s. Like the Runners are on there, Cool and Dre are on there. Like there's like some of those records that would evolve into trap, but then there's still like the 90 BPM sped up sample records. Like Wayne is doing his very best Jay-Z impression with hints of Kanye. It was so fascinating. I completely forgot about the Runners and Money on My Mind. And Best Rapper Alive and records like that. Crazy.
What was the Runner's record for? Was it Fat Joe? Hold on.
I don't know. Here
we
go
by the runner. We're going to look this up. Was it Clap and Revolve? Hold on.
Oh my God.
So I'm looking at the Runner's production discography. I forgot. Oh, they did Go Getta.
They did do Go Getta. Where the Cash At?
Hustling. Oh, they did Born and Raised.
Yep, Dreaming.
All the Above.
Oh my God. Wait, All the Above what? Just Blaze? The Maino record?
No, Beanie Siegel and R. Kelly.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm So Good.
Out Here Grinding.
Oh, of course they did Out Here Grinding.
Which features the classic video of Khaled awkwardly dancing to the record for Kanye and Consequence.
Speeding. Right.
Yeah.
And then it's sort of, you know.
It just falls off. They stopped in 2013. They had one placement in 2017, a Nelly record, and that was it. They had a Fat Joe record. It might have been Clap and
Revolve. It's Clap and Revolve.
God, that record is terrible.
I remember the first time I heard Money on My Mind, I was like, oh.
Yeah, Money on My Mind was crazy when it first came out. It was different.
Yeah.
It was different. People weren't ready for that sound.
No.
Oh, boy.
I'm looking at their the discography. It's like, oh yeah, that's about it.
Yep.
All right, speaking of producers who are hot right now anyway, man, Tay Keith, like, his stuff can be real simple, but like, please tell me you've heard Who Got the Smoke.
Yeah, it was on one of those playlists.
Yeah. Offset kills that.
I didn't get that far.
You probably stopped when Lil Yachty started rapping, didn't you?
Yeah, I got about halfway through his verse and cut it off.
Yeah. I don't know. I like when Cardi decides she wants to try to rap.
I did hear that verse, because that was when people were saying that verse was about Nicki. So I did hear that.
But that beat is hard.
Yeah, it is.
I know exactly the kind of beat that he's trying to make, and I'm like, yes, more of that.
Yeah, I'm cool with these really minimalistic. It's like taking a DJ Paul and Juicy J record and just like removing the sample. But it's like, it's still tough, because all it is just drums.
Right,
drums. And a bass line.
You mean like Nonstop?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but there's a, they he's got a couple records like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Got a couple. And whoever the dude is that produces for Black Boy JB.
That's Tay Keith.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, that guy too.
One and the same. Because he did look alive.
He did look alive. Okay. Boy, I'm trash. Man.
Let's see. Anything else worth talking about? We didn't talk about NBA free agency, but we've been sitting here talking for an hour and a half already.
Yeah, we still gotta get to like
we gotta start reminiscing. Speaking of reminiscing, I know. So I don't know if they're playing near you, but did you see that So Def is doing a 25 year anniversary tour?
They will be in Detroit on my birthday.
Oh boy,
I'm thinking about it.
I mean, so he's bringing the whole crew
except Bow Wow, because Bow Wow went crazy.
Is he not doing Bow Wow?
Yeah, he. Just went on a rant a couple weeks ago and said he wasn't going to go.
Oh, I thought he was on the... Anyway. But he's bringing Franchise Boys. He's bringing Jaquan. He's bringing Bone Crusher, Young Bloods.
I'm there.
How many records do you think we get from that first Jermaine Dupri solo album? Money and a Thing.
Maybe The Party Continues. Because the breath's going. The Party
Continues, I'm going to laugh so hard.
He'll do like a piece of it. Because people like that hook. They can sing along with Usher because Usher be like at the Atlanta show.
Yeah, I was going to say Usher is going to be like a big, man, that's tough for him, right? Like the Atlanta show will be great because Usher and other people will be there and like they'll be able to pull out Little John. Because like the fact that they're not doing any of the So Def Bass All-Star records, it's like, come on.
Are they going to bring Ghost Town DJs out? Is that what's going
to
happen?
I mean, you know what? At the Atlanta show, you have to assume they will. Everyone's coming out at the Atlanta show.
Yeah, but he just did that for them like 5 years ago.
Oh, but yeah, I saw that lineup, and I was like, Armand's going to that.
I might.
Yeah, because you're still Team Jagged Edge, right? You still.
I'm just at this point. I'm just Team 2000s R&B. Jagged Edge could do a nice. You said it earlier. Jagged Edge could do a nice 30-minute set. And Escape could do a good 20 minutes. The Brat could do 15, 20 minutes. Bow Wow, for like on the lowest of keys, Bow Wow could do like 45 minutes.
Of what? He's not going to do like Bounce With Me and like the record.
Yes, he is. If he knows what's good for him, he better do Bounce With Me and Puppy Love. what was the Neptunes record? Love Bow Wow. You just don't know. Take You Home.
Take You Home. No, nah, he'll do Let Me Hold You, and he'll do, man, Let Me Hold You, which...
That beat is hard.
That beat is hard.
He could do could he do Like You?
Could totally do Like You.
Without Sierra?
I mean, there's going to be a lot. That's the thing about a Jermaine Dupri thing, right? Like, it's going to be like, really, if you're doing the best stuff of So Def, it's like, well, kind of need Usher. You might need Mariah Carey.
You definitely need Mariah. Nah, she's not busy.
She's not
busy. Mariah's not busy.
Anyway,
she's good.
Anyway, do we need to say anything about NBA free agency before we get on to?
Man, there's a bunch of stuff, but I think we're just gonna have to skip it. All right. Other than, I really want to talk about Tristan and Draymond, but I can't.
Listen, anything that gets us closer to Draymond just getting sucker punched, I'm here for it.
Apparently, he got sucker punched twice.
I mean, like really, like you know,
like dropped. The fact that the rumor is that Tristan didn't drop him, that kind of hurt. But at the same time, like I shouldn't wish physical violence on somebody.
You're right. You're right.
It's trash. I don't like Draymond, but I don't want to see anything bad happen to him. But at the same time, as he was being really extra disrespectful to Tristan during the finals and at the parade.
If this upcoming season, if Tristan ever gets like a clear path, or anything resembling a clear path with Draymond in the way, he's going to go for it so hard. Like it may not even be the right shot to take. It doesn't matter. Just he's going to try to dunk on him so hard.
Yeah. Okay. Dunk on him. Sure. I thought you were talking about he was going to put in some goon work.
No. I mean, he's going to, you know, it'll be like when LeBron tried to end Draymond's life in that finals game.
And when LeBron ended Jason Terry's life.
Right.
With that dunk after, he did it to him in the finals. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't even know this. I don't know where we're gonna call the sides and how it's gonna work. But you want to move. So you wanted to take a look back, take some questions from fans, talk about some stuff for our 300th episode, right?
Yes.
So where do you want to start?
I don't know. You've got all the questions down, right?
So we got some questions. I think I'm going to lead with this because this is super interesting. All right.
Okay.
We don't have that many questions.
okay.
You know, it's all good.
It's all good.
Somebody asked, what artists did you think would have dominated sort of hip hop music since the beginning of our podcasts, but haven't? Or sort of like the what if careers that have appeared?
I think ASAP is somebody who comes to mind.
Yeah.
I think Wale is somebody who comes to mind. Personal pick, I would have thought that Ace Hood would have had a bigger career than what he did. Because he had records, he had flows, like he was early on a lot of those waves that people jumped on later. Meek in particular, I always said Ace was a rich man's Meek Mill.
He was a prototype.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, what about you?
I think ASAP is an interesting one. Who else? I don't know what I started thinking about is whose success surprised me the most.
Mm.
I went the other way, like sort of the inverse. And you know, honestly, like I think Kendrick.
Hmm.
Right, because so we started the podcast 2011. Good Kid comes out in what, 2012?
Yep.
So Section 80 had been out, right?
Yep.
Like I didn't hear Section 80 and then think to myself, yeah, this is the guy who's going to put out at least one, if not multiple classic hip hop albums and is going to be one of the top guys in hip hop. Like I just didn't see it. Section 80 didn't hit me that way. The success, like Good Kid, Mad City, and we talked about it extensively. And the Good Kid, we did two episodes on Good Kid, Mad City.
We did. Yeah, we did.
I mean, it's worth it. It's a seminal hip hop album.
It's an important album in hip hop history without question.
But like I just didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah. I would agree with Kendrick. He wasn't like, so we think about people who were like poised to take over hip hop. So Drake, even though Thank Me Later, you know, wasn't what we thought it was going to be, but we knew Drake was coming. Like Drake was the guy. Snoop was the guy. Method Man was the guy. 50 Cent was the guy. Like these are our artists who were like built up so much momentum. By the time their debut album came out, it was like a fever pitch. Kendrick didn't really get that. He was anticipated, but it wasn't like that. And then even then he completely killed his expectations three times. Each project was completely different from the other. And even with the success of Damn, like I didn't think, even in hearing Damn, I didn't think it was going to be this successful.
Mm.
I don't think that Kanye would have fallen off the way that he has.
You think Kanye's fallen off?
Yeah. At least in the eyes of the public. Like I've never seen a heel turn like this so quickly.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sort of discounting what happened this year, even though I shouldn't.
I think if anybody can bounce back from something like this, it's Kanye.
I mean, maybe. I mean,
but this was pretty bad.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I mean, to me, it's the first time you put out an album that you like. I'm not going to really go back and listen to that album all that often, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's some interesting songs, some interesting ideas of songs, right? But like, nah, for the first time, like Life of Pablo, we've talked about on the show at length, right? The Life of Pablo was incredibly uneven. But there are incredible records on the Life of Pablo.
Now I was about to say, like people, I think people really discredit Life of Pablo.
I think that album has aged kind of well, in a sense.
Man, No More Parties in L.A., 30 Hours, Father Stretch My Hands, like
Fade.
Fade. What's the other record?
The Rihanna record.
Famous. What's the record before that? Heard About the Good News? Y'all Sleeping?
Oh, Freestyle 4.
Yeah, like. Those records to me are still fire.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. The drop off from Life of Pablo, I'll give you that. Like, this has been a rough year for Kanye. And yet, like, you know, the Daytona album, like, some of the, like, ironically, in a weird sense, like, as a producer, Kanye might have sort of like reinvented himself a little bit.
Did you hear that Nas is promising another album by the end of the year with production from
Go ahead.
RZA, I think RZA and somebody else. I want to say Swiss, but I know RZA.
Oh, I was going to say, well, sure, because if quote unquote Nas album done, like.
Right.
I mean, of course he's got other songs sitting around.
But I think if Nasir did not catch the flack that it caught, he wouldn't be talking already about a new album. And he wouldn't have said that his Wyoming experience was weird. He backtracked like crazy in that interview.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he had to sit down with somebody on a stage and he was like, yeah, my Wyoming experience was weird. And, you know, I had an album done, but Kanye wanted to really get this done. So I decided to get it done with him. Like, it was really like the, hey man, I don't know what happened. Kanye just gave me these beats and, you know, I did what I could.
Right. And like gave him some of the best production he's had in years. Okay. Like, I don't know. If he's really going to complain about the Nasir album. Anyway.
Yeah. But there are some people who will agree with you and say that the problem with the Nasir album was Nas.
Yeah. Interesting.
People won't say that. People won't say that.
And then so like in terms of what if careers, I mean, Big Crit.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, he immediately comes to mind.
Yep. I agree.
I think J. Cole has had a different career than I thought he would.
100% exceeded all types of... I did not know that he would be the voice of an entire demographic.
Right.
I did not expect that. As much flack as we give him, I gotta respect that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I kind of thought Rick Ross might actually have like a really successfully selling album. Like sort of have his...
Mm-hmm.
Become the new Biggie, but that's just not Rick Ross.
Yeah.
Part of it, right, is just it's a different era, right?
Yeah.
If Biggie comes out in, you know, 2018, you know, the way the industry works is so totally different, right? He'd have to have a new thing, right? Because the idea of we're going to take what Puffy does and we're going to take the street stuff and we're going to combine them together and you're going to get it all. Oh, and by the way, we're going to back it with the best production money can buy. And, you know, that's just not where we're at right now. So, like, the Biggie concept just would be different now. You know what I mean? So, like, expecting it to just translate over doesn't really work the same way. And conversely, you take, you know, mid-2010s Rick Ross, put him in the time machine back into the 90s with major labels and real budgets.
And he's one of the biggest artists of that era.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think Jeezy's fallen off a little harder than I thought he would.
Yep.
I'm trying to think. I'm going through and trying to like think.
I think 2 Chainz's career is really weird.
I will give 2 Chainz credit. Yes. I think
it's yeah, go ahead.
He's kind of, I mean, not quite the same way, but because of his personality, he's almost like the new Snoop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like he can just keep putting little projects out and nobody cares in a bad way, but like there's like not really high expectations. If something works, it works. But people just like him.
Yes.
And so he can do stuff.
Yep.
And if he ever wanted to do like a reality show or thing, like he'd be fine. He would do it. He can make music. He actually can rap. Like I think he's just he has this really interesting kind of career. But yeah, I think 2 Chainz works.
What about somebody like Action Bronson, who seems to not be rapping at all, but has found a whole other lane in reality TV and personality-wise? Like, did you expect him?
He's somebody who, 20 years ago, when Dusty New York Hip Hop could still get played on, you know, got played on Rap City, and you could still go gold or even platinum. I think the original sort of. What I think was the original plan for Action Bronson, which was I'm going to make really grimy hip hop, maybe with a little bit of humor, because he's basically kind of like J-Zone crossed with Ghostface, right?
Never heard a J-Zone song in my life, but sure.
You know J-Zone.
I know of him, but like I can't name a J-Zone record.
You didn't have a J-Zone phase at some point?
Not at all.
Okay. There are about 10 people listening who know who J-Zone is.
We're like, yes, J-Zone!
A J-Zone reference.
Yeah, I've definitely heard the name, but not, yeah.
20 years ago, he's just another one of these New York rappers who has the Primo produced single and goes gold, right? 10 years ago, he's in really rough shape, actually, right? Because social media is nowhere near where it is. The idea of him having a cooking show would never happen. Like, he's just in a bad place. But now, this is actually going to kind of work for him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to think anybody who's had particularly interesting or like sort of different careers. Anybody on your end who basically didn't work the way that you thought? Anybody else come to mind?
No, I think Crit was one to tell. I didn't think Chance was going to blow up the way that he did.
Yeah. I didn't think Nikki would have this complicated of a career.
Yeah, because it seemed like in the beginning she wasn't taking herself serious, and then she just became, she just started taking herself serious, and it was a downfall. She's shooting herself in the foot.
Right.
And it does, I think the problem with Nikki is that her rollout and the last maybe 3 years of her career have not had to be as difficult as they were.
Yeah.
She really could have done a lot of things different and been fine. So I don't know.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else that really like absolutely just ridiculously surprised me, or either good or bad. I don't know.
Nah.
Okay.
We can come back to it because we still have a few questions still.
Somebody wanted you to ask me what my favorite movies are. I don't really know.
Yeah.
I don't know. favorite movies.
So you don't have a favorite movie?
I mean, do I have, look who you're talking to here. Do I have a favorite movie? I don't know. I have many favorite movies, right?
Oh, well then just name many then.
Name favorite movies?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it's just stuff everybody knows, right? I mean, I hope y'all have like Godfather 1 and 2 on your list. I'm trying to think favorite movies. That's tough, actually. Like movies are one of those things. I have a lot of favorite movies. I don't know. Do you have, if somebody asks you, what's your favorite movie? Do you have a go-to, like, what's your favorite movie?
I usually say like American Beauty.
What?
I will say, yeah. Oh my God. What do you mean what?
You heard me?
Yeah, what do you mean what? That's a fantastic movie. Don't do that.
I'm doing it. But okay.
What else would I say? I don't know. I'm not really a movie person anymore. Usual Suspects. Like I used to be really big into like gangster movies.
Yeah.
But I haven't really, I was a big Kevin Spacey fan, clearly.
Mm, yeah.
How
about this? Like what's a movie that you love? Like that you like irrationally love, like you'll go to bat for it forever, but you know that other people are like, nah, that's cool.
Oh my God.
Got any of those?
I have albums like that, but I don't know if I have movies.
You don't have movies like that?
Mm-mm. Nah, I think I love Gone Girl because of what it did for me.
Oh man, Gone Girl is secretly a really, really good and rewatchable movie.
Yeah, it. You know, as somebody who's, you know, can be pessimistic and it can be hard to evoke a real reaction, like the turns in that movie really got me. So, yeah, I haven't seen that movie in years, but I think it's about time to revisit it.
It's funny that I said Godfather 1 and 2 and I named some other movies. But because honestly, like when I think about like what movie do I watch the most often, like do I rewatch? It's probably The American President.
Never seen that before.
Man. Because I'm I have my poli sci degree. I'm a political nerd. Like it's Michael Douglas, mid-90s, written by Aaron Sorkin, the guy who went on to do The West Wing and who is known for writing very like snappy, kind of really well done dialogue. So yeah, I can rewatch The American President pretty much anytime. I think I rewatched it recently this weekend, actually.
Mm.
All right. Somebody asked, what would the show look like if we, because we've talked about how we do this for the love, where we don't take ads or anything like that. What would the show look like if we?
We would.
What would the show look like if we had Patreon or something like that? And what would the show look like if we made enough money to quit our day jobs?
Doc and I have talked about Patreon. It's just a matter of setting it up and figuring out, because we're so busy, we would have to find, you know, how we could consistently feed the streets.
Yeah. How can we give you all value basically? Right. Cause yeah. Otherwise we just put it up and go, hey, we'll take some money.
Yeah. We'll take some money. Hey guys, give, you know, it, so we have to find a way to do it. We've talked about it. We've agreed to do it, but you know, figuring out when to like how to make time for it. We just don't have that. You know, two 30-year-old guys with families and careers and stuff like that. It's really hard. It's really hard to do what we may have done when we first started the show. You know, when you get more of a fan base, you dedicate. It's like when most people, when you get something, when you start something, you know, you get to it when you get to it. And then when you get fans, when you get an audience, you put more focus into it. And at times we've been the opposite, whereas we've grown, just our lives have not given us the opportunity to really focus on it. But I've never thought about doing this full time. I don't even know if I would want to.
Yeah. First of all, if we actually like did this more professionally, we would probably do it on video. We would figure out a way to do that.
100%.
I'm trying to think. We would probably pretty reliably do them every week, like no questions asked. I guess we would do multiple shows. I don't really know.
We do multiple shows. We do video. We would probably do more interviews.
We do more promotion on like YouTube and social media. Like, yeah, because that stuff takes a lot of time.
It does. And I still wish that if we had somebody who had the time to volunteer to, you know, help us get YouTube going, like that would be great, because, you know, that's a whole other platform that I feel like we're missing out on. But we just don't have time. We just don't have time. I don't have time for like my rap career. I have time for like my kids, music, and work, sort of. And like, that's it. So I don't know. I know somebody asked where the name Clock Radio Speakers came from.
Oh, yeah, I missed that question.
Yeah, so there's a Jizza line on a song called Liquid Swords where he said, "Your sounds is weak like Clock Radio Speakers." There was an original version of the Clock Radio Speakers theme song that had that spliced into it. Was it not, Doc?
That's correct. I made a beat just offhand using a sample, and I don't even remember what happened to that beat. I don't even know if I have it anywhere still. Probably somewhere in Dropbox. And
it's somewhere.
It's somewhere. But it's on the really, really old episodes. You can hear it. And yeah, we had that as our little drop before we had Marissa come in and record the you're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause we had her when I think we changed to that when it was when we were doing Kairos. Because that's when I made that beat. And wow, so that's an old beat. And I had you asked Marissa to record one of the interludes for Kairos.
I did, yep.
So since I had her in front of the mic and it was all set up, I was like, "Hey, while you're here." And so she recorded.
Mm-hmm. And there it is.
There it is.
I forgot about that. Yep, sure did. She is on Kairos.
Yeah.
I haven't heard Kairos in a very long time. So there's that.
Do you typically not go back and listen to your old work?
I haven't really been, because I haven't really been in like a Armand rap mood. You know, I did the little freestyle a couple weeks ago, but I just haven't felt like listening to me. I don't have anything to say. So sometimes I listen to me nonstop, but I'm just not in that season of my life right now. Well, no, not really.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I'll go back and listen to stuff I've made before. Sometimes I get in a little like, oh, I forgot about that. Oh, I forgot about that. Like the other day I was like, oh, wow. Like I completely like, I mean, I remember obviously that like, you know, I had the like that, you know, I worked with Superstar J and he did all that stuff. But I've like forgot about, I went on, I was like, oh, let me Google some of these old mixtape covers. And I laughed really hard.
Oh, man, that was a good time.
That was a good era.
That was a good time.
That was way before Clock Radio Speakers.
Oh, my God. Yes, it was.
But like, you know, sometimes it's good to reminisce, but I don't know. I don't do it that much. Because honestly, like, I don't know. If I listen to a beat of mine that's too old right now, outside of like, there are some of my older beats that I still like will love forever. But like outside of a handful of them, like if it was made before a certain time, I'm just like, nah, yeah, no good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you feel that way about music, about your older music?
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't understand how rappers will like jump into a cypher or they'll perform songs from like 6 years ago. Like, I don't remember stuff that I did like last year. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Like there were records that I wanted Sky Zoo to perform, and when I was talking to him, I was like, "Man, I wish you would have did this, this, and this." And he was like, "Man, I haven't heard those records in so long."
Go ahead.
I was gonna say I was just saying I get it.
It'd be like if someone came up to you after a show and like, "Man, I really wish you performed Rearview Dashboard."
Oh God, I haven't heard Rearview Dashboard in.
Right. Oof.
Yeah, I can't be mad at that. But for some people, that's their favorite, you know, Armand record. I get it. Oh boy. Oof. Oh boy. That was.
It's like, Doc, got any more Tom Brock samples lying around there? Hold on a second.
I'm sure you've got something somewhere.
All right. We asked people for their favorite episodes or moments.
Oh, I've got a couple questions that I got in my DMs before we get to that.
Okay. Yeah. Please keep the questions going.
Yeah. I got you. Okay. That's a question I can answer offline because that It's not that. Okay. This is a really good question. It's kind of in the same vein of the one you asked earlier. What is a project that you bashed or praised in review, but you now feel completely different about? Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I gotta go.
Right. I'm like thinking, okay, I'll give you an example. This is not really, it's not a huge difference, but like, sometimes this happens if an album comes out at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We'll overrate it tremendously if we did an end of the year episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like the last D'Angelo album.
Mm.
That album has like three or four really, really fantastic songs.
Okay.
But aside from that, it's fine. But like, it's not voodoo. But at the time, we were like, oh, there's new D'Angelo.
Yeah.
Trying to think what else.
Maybe To Pimp a Butterfly. I was having that conversation with somebody a couple weeks ago.
Well, you praised that pretty heavily, didn't you?
I did. And I'm like, that's an album that I never go back and listen to. But I did hear These Walls a few weeks ago and was like, man, this record is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like, it's funny, like we talked about the movie thing earlier. Like with media, there's like greatness and then there's replay value.
Mm-hmm.
And with music, sometimes that really gets tied up together in the same metric. Mm-hmm. But like they can be different. Like you can hear something and be like, wow.
Yeah.
But like I don't really need to hear that all the time, but wow.
Yeah.
Movies have a real strong thing. Like there are movies where I've been like very emotionally affected by something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh my God, that was incredible. But like, you know, I'm not going to go rewatch. Like some movies I can just, you could put on and rewatch because they're real easy or they're real fun. Or you just jump in and you're like, oh, this is great. I love this part. You know what I mean? Like that sort of stuff.
Right.
And sometimes they do mean the same thing, but not always. So that's interesting. Yeah. Pimp a Butterfly. Yeah. I kind of get that.
I think Views is a record that has aged well.
Yeah, I think I might agree with that.
I don't think we were super high on it when it first came out.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm trying to think. I mean, I think just in general, I think we, you know, there was a point where we sort of got maybe a little too, like we sort of got a little too carried away with having fun with like slandering albums for being terrible.
You think?
You think? But like, I would
agree with that.
I mean, the thing is like, it's not like I feel differently about those songs. Like they're still not good, but now we're just like, nah, we just sort of move on.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Right. Cause there's there's tons of stuff right now we could really go in if we really want, but like, it's not even just why trash a person. It's also like, I'm not even trying to expend energy. Like let's talk about the things that are really great. Like let's point out the stuff that doesn't work. And if it doesn't work and it's egregiously bad from somebody who's capable of more, then yeah, let's have a conversation about it. But like, I don't need to, you know, like this, I'll never do, like the Slaughterhouse thing. We'll just never do that again. You know?
Right.
At least, famous last words, you know, we'll be here in 2 weeks. You'll be dragging Travis Scott to the mud. No, I'm just kidding.
It's, I think as you get older, you see how music has an effect on other people, those that you're closest to, and you remember when you were them.
Hmm.
And so that feeds and fuels a lot of my, it's not for me, or I understand why people would like that. It's not, oh my God, this is the worst thing in the world. And I think that time period is probably where we developed our reputation from, you know, because there are some people who just think that we're always, that we hate everything and we have our Jan Sports on like super duper tight.
Right.
You know, we've, you know, I think that also was birthed during the church clothes episode.
Uh-huh.
You know, like. That was the first time that we reviewed a Christian hip hop project. And I think that was one of the first times that a Christian hip hop project was critiqued in a way that we probably went extra on some of the records. But I think in retrospect, some of our critiques of Lecrae ended up being, you know, they end up coming to pass. Who is he and who is he making music for? He needs to, you know, pick a target. And he never really did that. And, you know, now he is who he is and he's not, though he's still the face of, like he doesn't have the power that he used to have. But I definitely got some phone calls and some DMs about that project when we reviewed it. Like people were, that was the first episode where people were really mad at you.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Oh, you know what hasn't aged well that we reviewed? Compton.
Dude, I heard a couple records off of there maybe like 3 weeks ago. And I was like,
what is this?
What? Yeah. Yeah.
Dark Side Gone is incredible.
Dark Side Gone, what is that?
That's a song on Compton.
Oh, okay.
Especially the Gone part. So it's two sides, right? There's Dark Side and then there's Gone.
Yeah.
Gone, which has Kendrick on it, is like upper echelon, upper tier, like at his peak Kendrick Lamar over an incredible beat. But people completely forget about it.
I'll say, I don't remember it.
you should right now you should listen to it.
All right, hold on. Let me pull it up. Hold on. This what happens when you don't, when ads go, or when apps go idle on your iPad because you don't use them in forever. Mm-hmm, here we go. What record am I listening to again? What's it called?
Dark Side / Gone.
Okay.
But you can fast forward a little bit through Dark Side. What you doing? Yeah, fast forward a little bit. Right here, yeah. That beat is ridiculous. The Kendrick part is incredible. I'm living my life now. I'm dealing with diligent Benjamin. How can my attitude pipe down? I'm with ice now. I'm with that you only can get on an overseas flight now. You scared of my heist now. But still I got enemies giving me energy. Wanna fight now. Subliminal sending me all of this hate. I thought I was holding the mic down. I thought I was holding my city up. I thought I was good in the media. You think I'm too good in my video. But really no clue, you idiot. I just can't help myself. Even when their records. So that sounds like, that sounds like Dr. Dre told him to record that like 10,000 times. It's so crisp. It's so crisp.
Yeah, super crisp.
That song sounds incredible in the car.
Mm.
The bass comes in, you're just like, oh.
Boy, I don't remember any of these records. Good Lord.
I
think Just Another Day's only record that I remember.
Oh.
The Game record.
It's Game Time?
Yeah. That's why I remember it, because it's loud.
There's some records on here. Like Deep Water's not bad, but it's there's too much.
It was a lot. And I don't need to hear Dre rapping about 6'4s and smoking weed.
It was a lot. There was too much. You know, try to find the best like 40 minutes here, you might have something.
Yeah. Man, you know an album that came across my iTunes recently and I totally forgot about it?
What's that?
Untitled Unmastered.
Levitate.
That's really the only record, even the record he did on, well, both the records he did on Colbert, like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going back and I'm like looking at like.
Well, like different.
I'm looking at old episodes to be to see if there's like albums that I'm notably just like. And of course, the problem is I went through this whole phase where I named things funny titles.
Yeah, I remember that. I was like, Doc, you got to stop doing
it. Which is great, except it means I got to like click through to figure out what the heck I'm talking about.
Yep. This just makes me, honestly, all the people that were going through old episodes of ours, like, this just makes me, thank you to everybody who gave us episode numbers. Oh my God. Like, thank you to everybody who tweeted us and sent us stuff. But a special thank you for those who actually put episode numbers. I think I'm going to go back and listen to this stuff. I 100% want to hear us talk about who killed it. I want to hear a Windy Day episode again. There's just a bunch of stuff.
I think, let me ask you this. So I'm trying to think big albums that came out. Like, so we're now 5 years removed from Magna Carta, Holy Grail, and Yeezus.
Yo, lot of Magna Carta records at On the Run too. Good Lord.
Really?
A lot. Mm. He did F for Me, You Know I Got It. He did Part Two. He did the On the Run record that I actually still like. He did Beach Is Better, which actually goes live. That's what happened. They opened with Holy Grail. They opened with Holy Grail. I was like, what?
I get that, I think.
No. No. I guess for like the energy, but like, I hate that record. That record, I do not like that record at all.
Here's an album that has not aged well. That would be the 2020 Experience. We really, really liked that album.
Ooh, hold on. Let me pull this up. Hold on.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Justin Timberlake. Oh, man. I forgot he came out with an album this year.
Well, then.
Man of the Woods. I totally forgot. He had a TKO remix with Pusha T, ASAP Rocky, and J. Cole?
Yeah.
Huh. Guess what? I've never heard.
So, yeah. I mean, like, that album. I feel like it opens very strong.
It does.
But, like, I don't know. Mirrors, Blue Ocean Floor.
Yeah.
Like, even I used to love Tunnel Vision. And now I'm like, if you play it now, you're like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I still don't like Don't Hold the Wall.
See, Don't Hold the Wall is hard, but like, it's too much.
I don't think
Suit and Tie has aged particularly well.
It's still cool.
It's fine.
Strawberry Bubblegum still fire.
Yeah.
Pusha Love Girl still fire. Spaceship Coop is cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Let the Glue Get In is still fire.
Yeah. I don't like anything on disc two. I used to like Take Back the Night until I found out what Take Back the Night really meant. That was really the only record. And Cabaret's okay. I like the Drake verse.
Yeah, it's pretty weak though.
Yeah, everything else is, I don't need any of it.
Yeah, it's really, really, really clearly like B-grade stuff.
Yeah, completely, completely unnecessary. There you go. So there's one.
All right.
Good Lord. Okay, we did.
I was going to say, you got any questions?
Yeah, I'm just looking through what people were talking about. We had Yav, Cambino, and Dre Murray on there. Let me see. Da-da-da. What else? Ferguson 1 year later was really good. I don't like, the problem is we should have asked this like 2 weeks ago to give me time to go back and listen to this stuff. Cause I don't remember why these episodes were good. I remember that period where we were like every other week we were having an episode about somebody getting killed. And we had to physically like say, we're not doing this for a while. Cause it just got to be too heavy.
Yeah, the Ferguson episodes were crazy.
I forgot about Two Fellas in Paris. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I forgot about the Swiss beat setup at the BET Awards where all the keyboards were surrounded. Oh, that was so good. So, so good. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Were there any other questions that came in or no?
Nah, that was it.
Okay.
That was it. The other question that somebody asked was somebody wants us to do a definitive 15 of debut albums.
Mm.
It's actually a good question.
We could probably do it on the fly right now.
Oh my God.
So on the list, definitely Illmatic, Doggy Style.
Yep.
Reasonable Doubt.
Yep.
I mean,
Cuban Links.
Yeah, I guess, is that a debut album?
Yeah, Raekwon's first album.
Okay, well then Cuban Links is on that. I mean, Liquid Swords is probably on that.
Yeah, you really can make a case for like a good chunk of Wu-Tang albums.
36 Chambers is on that.
Yep. Good Kid, Mad City?
I think it is. College Dropout.
So is Dark and Hell is Hot?
Yeah, I think it has to be.
Yeah.
Get Rich or Die Trying? Is that his debut? Yep.
To me, that's his debut. Some people have Guess Who's Back and Power of the Dollar. Those are not.
Okay. What's Drake's debut?
Thank Me Later.
Okay.
It was weird because like, because part of me wants to say, like, I consider So Far Gone an album.
Yeah.
Is Ready to Die on that list?
Yes.
Is The Chronic on that list?
Is that, I guess that's his debut. Yeah. We're getting pretty close to 15.
We are. Straight Out of Compton? That might be before your time. I would say it is. For me, it was.
I mean, we haven't even mentioned Tribe's first album. I don't know if that makes it for me.
Low End Theory. I'm not a
super. Low End Theory is not their first one. People's Instruct.
People Instruct. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
What about Outkast's first album?
For me, it's not because it's not their best album.
Or even one of their top. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got Aquemini Far and Away is their best album to me. And other people say AT Aliens, and that's cool.
I'm trying to think who else is super obvious debut.
The Infamous?
Yeah. That gets consideration. Absolutely.
Yeah. Consideration. Capital Punishment?
No.
No Way Out.
That's interesting.
That's very interesting.
That's an interesting case.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of say it was because it defined an era.
Yeah.
It defined an era.
We're missing somebody that people are just screaming about right now.
Here's one I'll give you.
Yeah.
Would you consider Super Duper Fly a hip hop album?
I mean, if you want to talk So Far Gone.
Like that Missy album, that Missy album did for hip hop and R&B what Drake did.
The same. I mean, it's not that dissimilar. It's just it wasn't as accepted at the time, right? I don't think Super Duper Fly is that good of an album.
I haven't heard it in years, but to me, at the time it was definitive. I don't know how it's aged.
At the time, I always thought it was just very single heavy. Outside of the singles, I was very meh on that album.
Okay.
Which, considering it's a bunch of tempo beats, you'd think I wouldn't, but who are we missing?
I'm sure somebody's yelling at us.
Somebody's yelling. But I think is kind of indicative. I mean, what about the first Clips album?
I was just about to say Lord Willing. No, I wouldn't have Lord Willing.
Okay.
Would you have Thug Motivation on there?
Probably not.
Yeah.
What was T.I.'s first album?
Oh, I'm serious. Absolutely not.
Yeah, it's not on my list.
It's what people would call a quote unquote Southern classic.
I think they say the same thing about Thug Motivation.
Yeah. Huh. Okay, let's see. I'm still looking. Miseducation?
I'm going to say no, but I'm going to say minority on that.
Go back and listen to
our I'm the only person alive who does not like the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Nope. I'm right there with you.
This is the problem. Like, hip hop went through a real dry spell in the mid 2000s. Let me tell you.
Mm-hmm. Would you consider The Listening?
That's at least an honorable mention, if not.
It's on my personal list.
Okay.
I don't know if it's definitive in hip hop history, but it is definitive in my life.
Sure, I could cheat and say like Mad Villainy, because that was the only time Mad Villain as a group made an album.
There you go.
That would be at least honorable mention if I was going to cheat, because I love that album.
Capital Punishment?
It's the second time you've asked me that. How do you feel about Capital Punishment? You really like that album?
My bad. No, not really.
Okay.
My bad. Would you put Iron Man on that list?
I think most of those first Wu-Tang albums are at least honorable mention. I think Iron Man's incredible.
You do.
It's a great album.
Yeah.
Cuban Links turned 23 today. Boy. Yeah, man.
We are old.
Old man. Yeah. Who are we missing from more like more modern? Who are we missing? Who has a really strong debut album that's like aside modern, from Kendrick?
Modern.
That's tough, man.
Who?
Like I like Rodeo, but not like that.
No, there's one there. There's a definitive debut album that has come out since
Good Kid?
Excuse me, since Good Kid, yes.
We missing somebody? The youths will have their own opinions, right? But like
they will.
But for us, I don't know, man.
I think that was pretty I'm going through right now. I think we got everything. Somebody's yelling at us. And
yeah,
you guys
like honestly on the R&B side example, like I would say Channel Orange. Don't do that. Channel Orange is incredible.
I was trying to figure out what my favorite Frank Ocean song was, and I don't know if it's Sweet Life or Pink and White.
What's my favorite Frank Ocean song? I like how now this has just turned into Armand and Doc are going to riff on whatever they want. What's my favorite Frank Ocean song? It's the second half of Pyramids.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
So you're asking me? I didn't love Pyramids the way you did.
No. Pyramids is great.
Yeah, it's cool.
But you're not as high on Channel Orange as the rest of us. You're definitely not as high on Blonde as I am.
No, not at all. Not at all. Pink and White is phenomenal. The way that I still the way Beyonce comes on the end of that record is one of my favorite music moments of the last 5 years.
And I think she's kind of overrated on it. Like I'll take Nikes over that. I'll take
Nikes grew on me.
Nikes is great.
Nikes grew on me. Yeah.
It's funny, right? Because like I think there are artists now who like are doing really well, but like they're getting better.
Yeah.
Like Tyler, right? Like his debut is not classic.
It's classic to Odd Future fans, but I've never heard Goblin and I probably never will.
Didn't we listen to it for the show?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. I think the first time we talked about Tyler was Wolf.
No, we talked about Yonkers. We must have, right?
I mean, we talked about Yonkers, but we didn't listen to Goblin.
Okay.
Yeah, there's somebody like him who's gotten better.
Yeah.
Somebody like Wale who got better. J. Cole, as much slander as we give him, got better.
What about Big Crit's first album? Not his Def Jam album, his first.
Crit was here?
Yeah.
I went back and listened to that. I need you to throw the mastered version back in Dropbox.
Oh, right.
I keep forgetting to
the unmastered version is no bueno.
It's not. It's not good, but the mastered version is. It didn't age well.
I know. That's the thing about Big Crit. His stuff has not aged well at all.
Yeah. It didn't age well.
All right. Anything else?
No.
When people went back and sort of were naming favorite episodes and stuff like that, were there any that stuck out to you that you had kind of completely forgotten about?
Let me go back and look.
Like, I forgot about, like, the religion and hip-hop episode. That was a while ago.
Yeah, I remember the first one because I didn't like it. And I remember the second one because I really liked it.
I really forgot all about the church clothes episode.
I didn't. The conversations I had and the DMs I got, I didn't forget that.
Yeah.
I forgot. I don't know what we did with Joel Santana on episodes 131 and 132.
I think those were the Dipset retrospectives, which have to be incredible.
Oh, man.
Though that was the era when we were doing, like, those have got to be the longest episodes humanly. But hold on,
we were doing 6 and 7 hour episodes. Were we doing them in one stretch?
Well, I mean, that was pretty rare. There was definitely one time where we definitely did we sat and recorded for like 8 hours in a row. It was terrible.
I want to redo the Death Row episode.
Well, you want to redo it?
Yeah, I want to redo it.
Why?
We won't, but I want to redo it.
Why?
I don't think we gave, like, was that our first retro?
We did an Outcast retro pretty early on.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of our earlier retros and we hadn't really found our retrospective rhythm.
Actually, yeah, the Dipset retros aren't that long. You know, it's long as like the Wu-Tang, right? Oh my God.
Wu-Tang one's probably like, what, 8 hours, 7 hours?
It's like 9 hours total across three episodes. It's crazy.
Yeah. I think Bad Boy is like 6 hours. The J retro has to be long, doesn't it?
That was one of the old episodes. Yeah, the Death Row retro. Yeah, it's not as long as you think. Interesting.
I think the Valentine's Day episode was really underrated. It was basically just me and you dropping relationship gems. Well, basically you dropping relationship gems.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I think that was around the time. I think that was Marcus Graham or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's about right. Oh yeah, I remember that. That was a good episode.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
Man, we did a 2012 predictions episode. Oh God, that's just gotta be.
That's gotta be terrible.
It's just gotta be terrible.
Probably like, yo, Ace Hood is about to kill 2012.
Right.
He's the greatest. Yeah. That's gonna be bad.
I'm looking at how long some of these retrospectives are. Oh my goodness.
We've gotten it down to a science.
Like, man. Part three of the Neptunes retro is 2.5 hours.
Wow.
Part three.
Yeesh.
All right, man. Anything else you want to talk about this week?
Nah, I think we've talked plenty and we got to get back to rap.
So the next time we record, which probably won't be next week because I'm traveling, but we'll definitely, I'm assuming, be talking about Astroworld. And it seems like there might be a Rick Ross album.
We can't wait until Nicki. Yeah, probably Astroworld and Rick Ross will probably be the wave. And I'm sure something else will happen.
It's been a busy summer, man.
It has. It has. And man, it's about to be August. It is August.
It's August.
Jesus. I got to pay my rent. Yeah, it's ugly out here, man. It's ugly out here.
Well, thank you everybody for listening, especially as we sort of ranted and raved and had a very unstructured episode, but it was 300. We really appreciate.
Thank you.
Appreciate
thank
everyone you. Who's been listening, whether this is your first episode, your 300th, like seriously.
Thank you.
We
thank
appreciate
you.
It all.
Yes.
Thank you to everybody who reminded us of great episodes and moments. Thank you for people who submitted questions.
Yes.
Armand, you got anything else?
Nah, just reiterate. Thank you so much. Like, we really, this is really important for a lot of you guys. Like, you guys really rely on us and I, you know, hey, just thank you. It's just two guys ranting and raving and making, you know, terrible inside jokes about hip hop music for the last 7 years. So I appreciate it. Thank you.